Have you been called a prodigal and told that if you will just repent, all will be forgiven? Perhaps you've been told that, sure, you're saying you're gay or transgender or that you're affirming your LGBTQ plus child or whatever it is, but one day you'll repent and then we will graciously let you back in the fold. Yeah, no thank you. Few stories are as misused and misunderstood as the prodigal. Our goal is to have you forever see this from a different point of view. And in this episode, we give you the backstory so you never have to be abused by the prodigal story again.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here as always. You're always laughing. You're already
because
laughing.
Because I love your radio voice. I love your radio voice. Yeah. And, I do. It just, it is wonderful to me.
In real life, it's like this. I'm talking to you. Anyway, I'm here all the time.
I love your voice that is so suited to radio.
Thank you. I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell. You see how easily misunderstandings happen.
I know. That's right. So again, welcome folks. Connect with us at freedhearts.org. And remember, you do, Susan, you do some life coaching, and that's available very limited basis. But if you're interested in that, please reach out to us at, you can just email hello@freedhearts.org. And if you're able to, and this podcast has meaning to you, it would really help if you could support us. You could do that on the website, freedhearts.org, and on the donate tab. Or if you're on Venmo, it's easy. It's just @freedhearts, and you will see our logo there.
Well, by the way, with the coaching, it's just usually a one or two off things. It's not like ongoing now, you're ongoing coaching. It's just one or two that really...
Breakthroughs,
and then you're in a different place.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
So, just so you know.
So you know. I know.
So they know.
Oh,
listening.
Okay, sorry, okay. You know, as we're talking about. Anyway, okay.
So y'all know.
Well, last week you read, we shared your profound, eye-opening retelling of the classic biblical story about the prodigal. But this time, as a transgender woman, and I love that story. I love what you did with that.
Thank you.
And how she was not the one who repented, who ever needed to repent.
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
Yep.
So let's talk about you, beloved. Have you been called a prodigal? Have you been told that if you just repent, all will be forgiven?
And by repent, they mean go back in the closet.
Well, yeah, agree with them. That's right,
right.
So perhaps you've been told, well, sure, you're saying you're gay or pansexual or transgender or whatever it is, but one day you'll repent and then we will graciously let you back in the fold.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, don't do me any favors.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not the story.
It's here. Not the story.
Few stories. Honestly, few stories have been misused and abused and misunderstood as the prodigal. And our goal last week and today is to have you forever see this from a different point of view so you can be free from whatever shame you've been exposed to or experienced as a result of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because see, this is the shocking story that the repentance thing does not get to. And that is the story of God's unconditional love, which means love without conditions, not love on the condition that you change your mind and take back that thing you're saying or doing. And no, it is not that at all. And I wrote this story with a unique twist to capture its freshness for us because we've heard it so much and it's heard it wrong so much. It's really hard to hear it the way it's meant to be done. But that was last week's episode. And if you've not listened, please do. You don't have to do it first. They are interchangeable, these two. But
I think it would help a little bit to go back and listen to that one first.
I think they're fine.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
I think you're fine.
Okay.
That's my opinion. But you do what you want. Today, we want to give you the backstory so that you never have to let yourself be abused by the prodigal again.
Because you know what? Because this story, just, and you all know it. It's about a child. This is the abuse of it. This is the mistelling of it. Mm-hmm. Is that this child this ungrateful child left home and realized how wrong he was and repented and came back. No, that's not the story.
Yeah, I mean, let's set it in context. The prodigal is one of three stories, all in the narrative together. One is about a shepherd who's responsible for 100 sheep in a fold, in a field, and one wanders off, and the shepherd leaves the 99 to go retrieve that one. The second story is about a woman who's lost a silver coin, very valuable, and she searches the house for it. Finally, she finds it, and she's exuberant with joy. And third is the story of the prodigal, the one who goes off to do his own thing, and when he comes back, his father's overjoyed to see him. That is the story. And I tell you this for context because they're all the same story, that God loves you, that God will search until God finds you, and that God always welcomes you without condition. You don't, God doesn't have to search for you. God knows where you are, but in our thinking, you know, you are not lost to God, and you don't have to do anything to deserve that. Nothing. God is love, and you and I are the object of God's love. We are the ones that God loves. So if we lived in the culture that Jesus was teaching in, and we heard the story for the first time, our jaws would drop.
Yep.
And we don't do that today because we are overfamiliar with the story and underfamiliar with the culture of Jesus' day and unfamiliar with the real message that Jesus is telling.
Isn't that, I mean, let's just let that sink in for just a moment here. With 40,000 denominations and multiple churches on virtually every block in this country, we are unfamiliar with Jesus.
With the profound message, unfamiliar with Jesus, the profound upending stories that he told.
Everybody just a collective sigh.
What have we been up to? What has the church been up to? But you
that's
know,
a whole other episode.
The Bible is clear. 40,000 denominations can't be wrong.
And I want to get that's right. And I want to give you a little tease too. We're starting next week. We're going to begin to really ask and answer some big questions. A lot of that is connected to this, that we've lost the real message and real teachings in the life of Jesus. And so we're going to go back and examine all this and really deconstruct all those things like we had to do with the issues surrounding LGBTQ and discovered that, wow, the Bible doesn't, you know, say what we thought it said. Doesn't mean what we were taught that it meant. Well, okay, what else is the Bible wrong about? So we're going to start getting into that here. So.
Yeah, and we're not going to do these stories every time. We're not doing Bible stories.
No.
What we're doing is our kids came out and we're like, oh my gosh, if the church is wrong about this, if we're wrong about this, what else are we wrong about? Well, that's what we're starting this kind of season. We're going to do some episodes about those questions of what else the church is wrong about.
Because again,
it is going to be like eye opening.
Right. It is deconstruction and it's critical because again, if we think about how much this story has been used against us for the church's benefit and to keep us down and keep us in shame, guilt, and fear, then what else have they used? What other things are we under familiar with the truth of Jesus that we're so unfamiliar with it that we've accepted things as gospel truth when it's not
gospel
and it's not truth.
Well, and I will give you a tease that we're going to be talking about the church's teaching of contempt against us, against a true understanding of the Bible, against Jesus, against the falseness of the fall of humanity. Are we really fallen? We're just going to get into some of that deep.
Yeah,
so it will be really cool to listen to, if I say so myself.
As well, our most popular episode ever is way back. And when we talked about the teaching of contempt before, and it's us versus them, and it's not just us versus them. It's
teaching, it's actively teaching hatred against another group,
including hatred of yourself. But we'll get into that. So that's your little short, but kind of long tease. So now back
back to this story,
back to the prodigal.
Yeah. So this story, which we've come to call the prodigal, this is a story of redemption. And it's usually told in a twisted version about a son who went off and acted crazy, and now he's back, and he's able to behave himself, so we'll accept him since he's sufficiently groveled to his father, and as long as he doesn't pull any more shenanigans. And people have misused this story to say that as long as you repent of your evil ways, we, who are less evil, can accept you. But that is not the story.
Nope.
The story is about two sons and a father, and it's primarily about the father. And it's secondarily about the other son, the older son. Let that sink in. It's not about repentance. That son did not repent.
The original son.
The younger son.
The younger son, yeah.
The so-called prodigal, the one who ran off, did not repent.
Nope.
He did not renounce his ways. He came back with a business plan for his father to become his father's servant. He hatched a plan. It's in the text. Because he was tired of eating worse than the pigs he was taking care of. And he was Jewish. He shouldn't even be taking care of pigs. But he was broke. And he had spent all his money. He had to get a job doing something. And the inheritance he never should have asked for while his father was alive. He couldn't get that money back. He couldn't reinstate himself as his father's son. And if you've heard this story, you probably know that to say, you know, can I have my inheritance? This is about the same in that culture as saying, I wish you were dead so I could have my money. It's the worst thing you can say. And there's actually a thing they would do, like a ceremony or whatever in that time, that if you said something like that to the father, or, you know, something that put you outside the community, in the community's mind, they did this thing where they broke you from community. The entire community was responsible to break your connection with the community and say you were an outcast. I think they handed you a sandal or something. I don't remember that part, but they made sure that you knew you were out. You were dead to the whole community. And so this was a very big deal that he did.
Yeah, and just a little bit of a thought that came to mind as you said that is that, you know, keep in mind that's the religious community that Jesus was speaking to.
Yes.
When he came and said, you know, you all are marginalizing and oppressing and putting people out that you've missed the whole point of this.
So, and
boy, is it happening today?
Yep, exactly. Sure. Many of you have been thrown out of your whole community, and they are the ones who are wrong, not you.
Right. So Jesus takes that situation.
Right.
Takes that situation and tells a story.
Yes.
But it's not
what they expect.
And it's not about repentance.
Yeah. The second that as they start to hear the story unfold, they're waiting for the moment where Jesus says, and that father said, you're dead to me. And, you know, I'm throwing you out on your ear. But that's not what he says. And they are outraged. They are beside themselves with rage that that Jesus is letting that son back in to this father, that the father accepts him with joy. The plan that he hatches is, you know, I see that I'm eating worse than my father's servants used to eat. And I'd rather go back as maybe I can work out a plan where he will let me be a servant and then I'll be better off than I am here. Because he had no hope that he would be his father's son again. That wasn't going to happen. But maybe he could be his servant. And so that's the attitude with which he goes back home. He's got it all memorized. He's got this thing he's going to say. You know, but he doesn't even get that far because this father sees him far off. He's been watching for him, hasn't he? That's implicit there. And he watches him coming. And he starts the party now. He starts the wheels rolling. Go kill the fatted calf. Get this party started, my son. I see him. He's coming. He's coming home. It has nothing to do with the attitude of the son, because all he knows is the son is coming. He hasn't heard this tiny little plan of his son's that he'll be a servant, possibly, and, you know, that he's going to earn his way back into being a son. What kind of father wants his son to earn his way back into his good grace as well? You may be able to answer that. But this is a story about God's welcome, loving, lavish embrace. And the word prodigal actually means lavish. And the father here is lavish. The father is the prodigal. He is lavishing his son with all this unearned love. If you have to earn it, it's not love. All this unearned blessing and gifting. If you have to earn it, it's not a gift. And, you know, we must stop pretending or listening to those who teach us, pretending that this is a story about the father, arms folded, tapping his foot, saying, okay, what's the plan to redeem yourself? Like some of our fathers and mothers do to their children, that is not it. It's better not to tell this story than to lie and distort its meaning into some shame and manipulation. That's not what it's about.
You know, how the story is taught by the non-affirming rules-based Christian church is basically how it was interpreted by the Jewish leaders.
Yes, who would have been listening, yeah, waiting for it. Yes.
Yeah, son says, you're dead to me, give me the money, I'm off on my own. He's out there, he does things wrong, he repents, he comes home, the father says, what's the plan? I mean, what, you know, okay, you're sorry, okay, welcome back. So Jesus said, no.
Right.
Let me tell you a different story. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what's shocking. Jesus didn't tell stories that supported the power structure.
Right.
That continued the status quo.
Well, that supported the teaching of contempt. Again, us versus them.
Yes.
The religious leaders against the son.
Right.
The father against the son. Us versus them. That's the teaching of contempt that we're going to really get into.
And it's people in power abusing people under their power.
Yeah.
With their, you know, overpowering them, basically. Yeah. All his stories are the opposite. They are all the underpowered being lifted up into a place of real humanity. Yeah.
And this is a story about someone else too.
Yeah, that's the other part that's, I mean, they say it in maybe a sentence, but the real part here, besides the father's endless lavish love, who represents God, that's God, is the older brother. And he cannot get his head around this unearned love. He just has no place for it. Remember, if it's earned, it's not love. And he doesn't want it to be that way. He doesn't want it to be this full acceptance without having to prove yourself, this love without condition, that is really the astoundingly good news of the gospel. That's what that means. But to those who have spent their lifetime trying to earn love and approval, for whom it was taught that is conditional, that God's acceptance and love and a blessing is conditioned on you and your earning of it, it's not good news to them that they didn't have to earn it all this while. That's why this older brother is like, what about me? I've done everything right. And the dad, God, says, but you've had all my blessings all along. You're here. Mm. If you'd wanted a party, you could have asked for it. I think that's in the text too, where, you know, why can't I have a party? Well, you could have asked for it at any point. Yeah, he says, why don't you? You never even gave me so much as a lamb or whatever. It's all here. Yeah. Ask for it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to plan your party for you. Ask for it.
Why do you think the church, and that's the question, why do you, I mean, this story should be, and actually is, a story of unconditional love.
Yes.
Why, and I'm asking this rhetorically because I think I know what I think, but why is the church so against unconditional love? We sing about it.
Right.
But
we don't mean it.
But they don't mean it. And the actions and the rules and stuff, they don't mean it. Why is unconditional love so threatening?
We very much have a worldview that everything is earned and that we do everything ourselves, even this idea of the self-made person that is so contemptuous. Nobody's self-made. We have a hard time acknowledging that we were gifted in so many ways coming in, and we certainly think we need to earn our own keep. Mm-hmm. We need to be worthy of love. And every time I talk about hell not existing, the first question I get is, what about Hitler? Which, okay, that's one person, first of all. We can talk about that other time.
But, and we will.
But the point is, it's like, rather than, oh my gosh, then my relatives who never even went to church, never even were Christians, they're going to be in heaven. That's not the first response. It's, what about Hitler? What about bad people? And that is very telling of our mindset that is all about punishment and not giving people stuff that they haven't earned and don't deserve. Yeah. Not about, it figures into our poverty structure.
Sure.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And I think too that first response is also because people really feel bad about themselves, as we've been taught to do by the church.
Yeah, because they've
been taught to be. So somebody has to be worse, again, us versus them.
Yes.
I love where you went with that. I was actually thinking that anything unconditional is not, can't be commodified.
Yes.
But if there are conditions, anytime there are conditions to God's love, to God's acceptance, that is a perfect setup
for
being one of 40,000 denominations.
Yes.
Different than the street next or the church next door.
Yes.
Why you should go here and not there.
Yes.
Why you need to continue to come here every Sunday and write your check.
Yeah.
Because of these conditions you have to meet.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And I love your word commodified. That's exactly right. This whole system, religious system, commodifies people, makes them commodities to be traded on the floor, of the church.
That's multi-layered. And again, that's what we're going to start getting into next week, is that all these things that the church has taught us that are just not true.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so let's go back here
and
to this LGBTQ.
Also there, because the other thing is many of these, many Christians have had to say, okay, LGB, we can't do anything about that now. That ship has sailed, but T, we can still attack vociferously, and they have. And it's a handful of leaders, whatever.
Yeah, and the followers
who made it political.
And the followers that continue to listen.
Yes.
For that,
And so, but it's hard to overstate how much people who take on this rule-keeping system, they buy into it. Okay. I mean, we were in the church. We know that you kind of find out pretty quickly, if you're smart and paying attention, what is expected of you, and you produce that because you are part of this thing now and you want to belong in this thing. And rules are a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And so for them to look back and say, wait, I didn't have to keep all those rules? That can't be true. Then I wasted. It's like buying lottery tickets that are losing and then saying, well, I've invested a lot in it. It's time for me to win. No, you spent it. You didn't invest anything because there's no return on that.
Well, go ahead.
There's no return on rule keeping for rule keeping's sake.
Right.
Now, being a good person, all that.
Yeah. Well, without a lot's different than just being a good human, but for a humanity's sake. But without the teaching of contempt, without conditions, then there's no justification for 40,000 denominations.
Right.
There's no justification for a church on
getting
every
in
block.
Between you and God.
And that threatens the church. Anyway. Okay.
Sorry,
so,
I interrupted.
No. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, getting between you and God.
Like, why do I need a middleman between God and me?
Right.
Because they want to take their cut. That's why.
Right. So.
I know this is very.
Brother, this is, you're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Cynical sounding, but it's
but
true.
You're going to love these next episodes coming up. Again, the tagline of our podcast is deconstructing religious baggage with laughter and love.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. But it's not you below. Yeah, go ahead.
We want to make this very clear. We're going to say the same thing, I think. Yeah. It's not you. It's them. It is not you. It's them. They don't know why this bothers them so much. If you said, you know, this story appears to be about unconditional love without repentance required, does that bother you? They wouldn't know why it bothers them. They
sure get triggered, though. They respond.
They would get triggered.
Attack,
they would say all, this all false kinds teaching. Of stuff,
yeah.
But they would not be able to answer why, because they don't know. But it reminds me of this cartoon. It's one of the Beloved Adventure courses. I did this, but it's a cartoon of a rabbit just slogging along he's got a carrot tied on a wire out from his head. So it's always dangling in front of him. And he can never reach it. And he's just slogging along after this carrot he's never going to reach. And the next frame, there's a rabbit driving a big old carrot. And it's so great. Because trying to get there by rule keeping will not get you there. You will not get there because one false step and you've lost it all. And it's conditional. You know, in our marriage, if you said, you know, I love the way you cook meals, blah, blah, blah. But if you burn a meal, we're done. It would take.
Oh, that's
an extreme thing.
No, but that's the foundation for a great loving relationship.
Right. It's like, well, wait, now I'm a commodity.
Yeah. The
now
pressure, the pressure, the fear, the guilt, the shame.
And the joy is gone.
The joy is gone. Yeah.
And that's how it is in this rule keeping mindset. But I'm telling you, they don't know a different way.
Because if you think about that, that's right. I mean, That extreme story is basically what we're taught in a variety of ways, in a variety of things that have become the gospel truth.
Yes.
That you better believe this, do this, or you will no longer receive God's love and acceptance.
Yes.
What kind of relationship is that?
Yes. Yeah. That is dysfunctional, and it feeds down into our families.
Yeah.
And if God can be that way, then I, as the Father, can be that way to my wife and my children. You know, it's
well, if you're in that relationship and you've lost the joy you talked about, all the joy is gone, then we feel shame and guilt and we feel anger. So it's natural for us to convey that to our neighbor, to someone we disagree with, to our children, to our spouse. And so it's horrible.
I mean, anyway. All the joy is gone. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says, right? Yeah. Where have we found the joy of the Lord? Most of us are just afraid of pissing him off.
All right.
Structure. Okay.
Well, it's heartbreaking that people are reaching and striving and worried about God's approval when they already have it, when they're already wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
And our job is to recognize that this is not you, it's them. Some, like Mark in the story, like the brother in the story, may not even sense that their response is out of whack here, but they don't know how to break the paradigm.
Yeah.
And our job is to continue to speak truth, to support each other, to protect each other, and to love each other.
Yeah.
Our job is to live true to ourselves, listen to your heart, that still small voice, you can trust it. Live true to yourself to understand how loved and accepted and whole we already are. And that's our goal with what with the episodes coming up, with all that we do, it's not to tear anything down. It's to let you know how loved and accepted and whole you already are.
Yeah.
Love heals. Love never fails. And it's time for us to go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is to tear down a false construct.
Well, no, but not. Yes, yeah. That's how we achieve the goal. It's not just to tear down.
For the sake of tearing down. It's
exactly
to free you.
Right.
It's to remove
you.
The rubble.
That's right.
To get you out from underneath it.
That's right.
To get us all out from underneath it.
Exactly yeah. right. That's right. And it's time for us to go love and be loved as we are for who we are. Again, like I say often, not settle for anything less.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we don't need to come home as much as realize that we already are home.
Yes.
So we look forward to talking to you next time. Connect with us, freedhearts.org, please. Remember, you are beloved. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.